Pastor, we thank you for the wisdom you've given him. We thank you for the words of life you've given him for today. May our hearts and minds and spirits be open and take in and obey what you tell us this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Maynard. Good morning, good people of the Green. And thank you for those who opened themselves up this morning to let God speak through them. Isn't it amazing when you come to church on a Sunday? I'm sure many of you thought, wow, I believe God is speaking to me personally, whether it be through the music, through the psalm, through the gifts, through the gift of tongues, and then the interpretation of that tongue. So, Jesus, thank you. More of you molding and shaping us. Close your eyes, please. I'll skip forward a bit in my message and we'll go straight to standing in awe of Jesus again. God gave you your imaginations for good. So let him inspire imagination now as you stand before Jesus. Whether you see him in his resurrected, glowing white glory, or whether you see him more in the carpenter's clothes, however you see him, he is risen, he is Lord, he is God, he's your brother, he's your master. In 2 Corinthians it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received for ourselves from God. I want you to hear Jesus speaking these words to you. To receive my comfort, you need to come to me. I mean, really come to me. You can find answers from my word, but real comfort comes when you hear me speaking my word to you. The prophet Samuel ministered before me from a young age, but the scriptures say he didn't know me until he heard me and spoke with me. I could not give my comfort to you until you began to come to me and seek my face. Then what joy was yours when finally my comfort began to flow. You cannot give the comfort I give to others if you have not received my comfort in the first place. As the scripture says, I am the God of all comfort, the Father of compassion. If you need and want counseling, you need to seek out a good counselor, ring them up, make an appointment, wait for the appointment, go to the appointment, talk to the counselor for at least 30 minutes, and possibly return all over again. It takes time and effort. So does coming to me for comfort. It takes effort to seek me. Lord Jesus, we come to you now. There's many things to do. But like you said to Martha, Mary has chosen what is best right now. So we want to come and sit at your feet, Lord Jesus, and hear you speak directly to us.
Amen.
I think it was 3 weeks ago we moved into the manse, and a week before that, I thought I'd test the heating because it'd been off all summer. So I thought I'd better make sure it works. Turn the heating on, and the upstairs radiators got really warm, and the downstairs radiators didn't. They didn't get warm at all. And I noticed that when I turned the upstairs radiators off, the downstairs radiators got warm. But as soon as I turned them on, they didn't go down. The hot water didn't go down to the downstairs radiators. So I rang up Andy Riley, who's the plumber for Green Street Green, and he said, it sounds like a pump issue. The other thing that was happening was the boiler was getting so hot it was cutting out, it was overheating. And he said, sounds like a pump issue, but I can't come and fix it for another 2 weeks. I'm that busy. And I said, well, we're moving in a week and it's getting cold and I want our move to be as happy as possible. I've fitted a couple of pumps before, so I'll fit the pump, and if it's still a problem, I'll give you a ring. So I changed the pump on the central heating system, and it helped ever so slightly, but it didn't fix the problem. So rang Andy, and he came a couple of weeks later. He looked around the system, and he found this filter above the boiler. He said, that shouldn't be there for a start. And then he undid this filter and took out this wire gauze thing that's meant to catch all the, they call it sludge, I think, all the metallic rust and things that's in the circulating system. It's supposed to stop it from going into the boiler and blocking the boiler. And it was just gunked up. Basically, it was stopping the water from being pumped around well enough and quick enough. So the boiler was overheating and cutting out, and the water just wouldn't go down to the downstairs radiators, not enough pressure. So actually, he took the gauze and went, you don't need that anyway. They cause more problems than they help. So screwed it back in, lovely hot water, upstairs and downstairs. Problem fixed. Often, we think it's a pump issue, when actually there's a blockage somewhere else. We often pray, Lord Jesus, more of you in my life, more of you, Lord Jesus, please, I need more. Where Jesus is saying, I'm here. Let's deal with the blockages. Let's deal with the things that stop the flow. Why am I speaking about blockages and central heating? Because Mondays is normally the day I usually go, Father, what do you want me to talk about next Sunday? And he brought to my attention that the previous week I'd attended 3 prayer meetings. And at all 3 prayer meetings, you good people were praying about blockages. So I'm guessing the Holy Spirit is wanting us as a church to deal with blockages. Sometimes we blame the pump, but actually it's not the pump. There's a blockage somewhere. The pump is working and pumping fine. It's around the system that's not working. So I want to share with you a message. Actually, I shared a very similar one a couple of years ago with you during my sabbatical. But if you've heard it before, it'll bear repetition. This is really Jesus speaking to you right now. Don't worry about 2 years ago. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. We're going to hear Jesus talking passionately about his indwelling presence in you. You can probably quote it, actually, so if you haven't got your Bible here, and if it doesn't appear on the screen, you can probably remember anyway, Revelation 3:20. This is Jesus speaking. He's writing to 7 churches. And this is the church at Laodicea he's writing this letter to. Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. But we often use this as a scripture to help people understand that Jesus is knocking on their lives. You know, the Holman Hunt picture with the door with all the leaves and vines on the outside, and there's no handle on the outside. And someone pointed that out to the artist. He said, I left the handle off on purpose because the only handle on a person's heart is on the inside. And we need to let Jesus in. And it is talking about Jesus wanting to come into the heart of a believer, sorry, an unbeliever. But he's also talking to a church of born-again Christians. They've already said yes to Jesus. They're already born again. He's already entered their hearts. And yet here Jesus is writing a letter to a lukewarm church. This is the one he says, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And he's saying, I'm knocking at the door. Please let me in. I want to come in and eat with you and you with me. So what does Jesus mean to a Christian then when he still says, I'm knocking at the door? Because I've already let him in, haven't I? Let's just say you were in the shower and you've invited a very important person round for. You've invited Prince Harry. Prince Harry has heard about you, heard your good works that you're doing in your neighbourhood, and he's come just to have a chat and congratulate you. Never met him before, and so naturally you want to have a shower before he comes. Unfortunately, he comes about 10 minutes early while you're still having a shower. There's no one else in the house, so you're kind of one leg out, and actually you've got one of those intercom systems. So you can just go, hello, it's Prince Harry here. And actually he's done all that posh thing. He said, okay, bzz, come in, I'll be down in a minute. So you let Harry in, and then your mobile phone goes, and you're just drying yourself off, and you ring up, and it's your friend. Is he here yet? Well, yes, he's here. What's he like? I don't know yet. I thought you said he was here. Well, he is here, but he's downstairs. And I haven't been downstairs yet to see him. So could that be what it's like with Jesus? We've let him in. Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. And yet we've received him, but yet he's still saying, let me in. Is there a difference between receiving Jesus and actually letting him in and eating with him, and he with me? A face-to-face kind of fellowship, friendship. That piece that I read this morning about Jesus saying, come to me for comfort. I wrote that 11 years ago. I felt Jesus was saying that to me, and I'll explain a bit more later on about why I write down things like that. So, if Jesus wants to comfort us, if Jesus wants to fellowship with us, if Jesus wants to come in, how do we? How do we let Jesus in? How do we respond to his knocking, wherever he is knocking? How do we receive that comfort that he wants to give us so that we can comfort those with the comfort that we've received? How do you open the door and let Jesus in? Okay, you're in Revelations at the moment. Go back a little bit to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's a bit of a clue as to how this happens. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. It says, for you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus, the good shepherd, is the shepherd and the overseer, or another word is caretaker. Jesus is the shepherd or the caretaker of your soul. No one else can take care of your soul like Jesus can. What is your soul? You're a three-in-one natured person. Just like God is three-in-one, he does a lot of three-in-ones. And one of the three-in-ones he did was you. He created a spirit, gave you a body, and a soul. The Bible describes these three different parts of you. Spirit, soul, and body. We all know the body part of us, and many people consider that to be them. This is me. What you see is what you get. You know, and we judge a book by its cover. We judge someone by their looks, by their body. But actually, that's not really them. And we have a soul. Now, that part of us is our mind, our will, our emotions. the things that we express. And then we have a spirit, which is the part of us that connects to God. Now, if you took a kettle and said, which is the most important part of a kettle? Is it the plug? Is it the cable? Is it the heating element? Is it the switch? Is it the jug part? Well, they're all important. Every part of the kettle is important, but they all do different jobs. Okay? Our spirit is the part of us that connects to God, that hears from God, that is born again. Our soul is kind of the bit that expresses ourselves. It's our mind, our will, our emotions. It's the bit that joins our body and our spirit together, really. The Bible talks about being saved. You are saved and you will be saved. There's scriptures that say you're saved. There's other scriptures that say you're being saved. And there's other scriptures that say that you will be saved. So which is it? Well, our spirit is born again, made holy, pure. It is saved. Our souls, God is working on that. He's working on our character. He's working on our mind, our will, our emotions. He wants to produce that wonderful fruit of the Spirit through our soul. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things he wants to flow out of our souls. And then we have our bodies. Our bodies will be saved. We get a new one. You leave this earth suit behind and you get a new body. So we are saved, our spirit. We're being saved, working out our salvation with fear and trembling in our souls. And we will be saved. Our bodies will be new, brand new bodies. Okay? So our soul is important to who we are. God doesn't just love your spirit. He loves your soul too. It is part of you. And that will live eternally, just as your spirit will live eternally. So the point that we said a wholehearted yes to Jesus, we became born again. Our spirits were saved. We became one with his spirit. And we received Jesus by his spirit into our hearts. He's there. No doubt about it. He's there. And yet, he's still knocking. Which part of us is he knocking on? He's knocking on our souls. Let me in. Let me in. And I will eat with you and you with me. So how do you let Jesus into your soul? How do you start to communicate fellowship with him in your soul? Well, I don't know how you feel about the Psalms, especially as John prayed one of those smash the teeth Psalms, and it actually happened, as he shared with us last week. But I struggled with the Psalms for many years because they're either too cheery, especially when you're feeling a bit down, and they're kind of, well, praise God, or I thought were a bit blasphemous. You know, when it said, smash my enemies and things like that, I thought, you can't ask for that. You can't kind of moan and complain and kind of get angry about your enemies and say you hate them. So I didn't really get on with the Psalms, but actually, I think part of our answer and part of what God began to teach me was from the Psalms. So turn to Psalm 143, a psalm of David. David knew his ups and his downs. David had some very deep, low downs, but he also had some amazing encounters, daily relationship with God. Psalm 143, starting at verse 6. Here's how we let Jesus into our soul. Here's how we begin to remove these blockages. David said, I spread out my hands to you, my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Here's part of the clue. Lifting up your soul to Jesus. Okay, skip back a bit to Psalm 62. Verse 1, Psalm 62, verse 1. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. My soul finds rest in God alone. Your soul needs rest, and it finds rest, true rest, in God alone. You don't need to turn there, but I'll just share you a lovely encouragement from 3 John verse 2, which says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So soul prosperity, or soul rest, potentially has a positive role on effect on other areas of our life too. I pray that you will prosper just as your soul prospers. Okay, we're still in Psalm 62. Let's go for verse 2. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Have you ever felt like a tottering fence? One more storm and it'll blow over. It'll fall over, it'll snap. Your soul has had enough. Verse 4. They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Probably talking about people in general, but maybe evil forces too. But we've all had and will have those people in our lives that cause us grief, hurt our souls, sin against us, upset us. Whether or not they've done anything wrong, we might feel upset and grieved. One of the things I tried to do to fix the problem in the manse was bleed the radiators, thinking, aha, probably it's just air stuck and it'll be fine. But no, I bled each radiator and there was no hiss whatsoever, which was disappointing for me. Because I don't know if you've ever really had a good hiss come out of a radiator and you can hear the blah, 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 blah as well. And you can actually feel it getting warm instantly as it rises up. We're like radiators. Some of us have got more hiss than others. But what happens in a radiator is it, over time, air gets trapped from the system and it gets trapped, and then the water cannot spread as far as it can do up the radiator. It just gets blocked. And we get blocked. And the Holy Spirit cannot circulate and spread in our souls, bringing out those that amazing gifts, the amazing fruit that He wants to, because we have blockages, we have hiss, we have stuff, sludge, that is blocking His work in our lives. We need a plumber. Who's the plumber? Jesus, the shepherd and the caretaker, or the plumber of our souls. Okay? Your souls, like a radiator, needs to be bled, and they need a plumber. Verse 5. Okay, we're continuing Psalm 62, verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. Chris mentioned it this morning. Sometimes you have to tell your soul what to do. You know, your spirit wants to follow the Holy Spirit. Your soul, not as much. Your soul gets tired, gets upset, gets grieved, gets anxious. Your soul also gets happy, joyful, but a lot of the time, sometimes, like David in Psalm 103, which Chris quoted as well, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, and bless His holy name. Sometimes we have to tell our soul what to do. No, I am going to bless the Lord. No, I am going to find rest in Jesus. No, I'm not going to just binge watch some TV program. That kind of normally works for me. Or I'm not going to spend or hide under the duvet. Where else would your soul tell you to go and find some rest. In the fridge, maybe. Kicking the cat. Where else? What will I put? Under the duvet. Drugs. Sex. Relationships. And not all these things are bad. Okay? Good relationships, they will give you a measure of rest, a measure of soul health. Okay? But only Jesus can give you true, total soul healing, soul rest. Okay? Right, verse 5 again. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. So we have where we go to God. We have who. We come to Jesus. But how? How do we bleed the radiator? How do we get rid of those blockages? How do we get rest from Jesus? Well, verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. It's as simple as that. You come to Jesus, He's the shepherd and the caretaker of your soul, and you pour it out to Him. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? You don't have to just complain and moan and whinge, although He does want to hear it. Don't think that you're going to shock Him by telling Him that you hate someone. I grew up thinking I wasn't allowed to hate people because I was a Christian. Because Christians can't hate people, can they? Well, you do. That's just natural. You have a soul. It's going to get offended. But what you do with it is important. And Jesus says, come to me and bear it to me. I want to hear it. It blesses me when you trust my love as much as to come to me and can be completely honest with me. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Lamentations, don't have to turn there, but Lamentations 2:19 paints this picture. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Pour it out like water. Just pour it out, not just a dribble. Pour it out. As Jesus began to talk to me about coming to Him and pouring my heart out, I began to appreciate, actually, the Psalms are raw and honest. That's what they are. They're just honesty. David's Psalms are just, he's writing down, he's creating songs, poems, just writing it down. Turn to Psalm 55. David echoes this simple yet powerful way of finding soul rest in other Psalms too. Psalm 55, verse 16. But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. That's quite often, isn't it? Coming to Him and coming to God and pouring His heart and soul. Then verse 22, so he says, morning, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. Then verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. That word casting is quite a violent, like casting out is the same word as casting out a demon. It's kind of quite forceful. Cast your cares on the Lord. Sounds like a New Testament script, doesn't it? Then go to Psalm 142. Verse 1-2. Again, he says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint. Can you complain? Can you complain to Jesus? Does He want to hear your complaints? Absolutely. Because if you don't complain to Him, you'll complain to someone else, and then to someone else, and then someone else. And then you'll still feel like complaining. And then you think, well, I'll stop complaining now. But then it festers. It boils. It kind of sludges. And before you know it, you've got a blockage. So, I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. Are you seeing a pattern here? David has discovered lifting up your soul to God, pouring it out, even if it's a complaint, just giving it like water before the Lord. Turn to Psalm 23. You know this one. Psalm 23, verse 1. David writing again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." It seems like when you come to Jesus and he lays you down, he says, "Tell me about it." He restores my soul. Okay, last two scriptures. Matthew 11. Hear Jesus speaking to you. Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And I'll just read the last one. We've already heard it spoken by David in the Old Testament. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." I think you've heard enough witnesses from the Bible to say that God says, "Come to me and pour it out. That's how I will restore your soul. That's how I will heal you." When Jesus first gave me this message, he gave me an experiment as well to show people. And the experiment was basically two glasses of water, a tea bag in each glass. One tea bag sinks to the bottom straight away and starts to turn the water brown. The other tea bag just floats and then slowly sinks and doesn't do much for a while. And the only difference is that glass is hot water and that glass is cold water. And the hot water one sinks and starts to spread quite quickly. And Jesus said, that's what happens when you begin to pour out your heart to me. The Holy Spirit is able to circulate, permeate, kind of osmosize or whatever it is, throughout your soul. He begins to reach those places that you wouldn't ordinarily allow me in. And as you begin to pour it out, the Holy Spirit starts to circulate, begins to bring things up that I want to deal with. And healing starts to happen when you pour it out. Sometimes I'm a bit slow with what Jesus is teaching me. But it was soon after this that we had a newish car. It was about 18 months old. First ever kind of newish car. And it was spotless. And we'd had it for a few days and I parked it in Sainsbury's and came out and someone had scraped it or bashed it or whatever they'd done. And I was gutted. And I drove home kind of, I need to forgive them. I need to forgive this person. And I was trying my best just to calm down and think, okay, forgiveness, let it go, pray for them. And I was really frustrated. And then I remember what Jesus was teaching me. So I was just in the process of going, "Lord, I forgive them. You know, I've got to forgive them." And then I thought, no, I remembered, I'm really angry. I think some idiot has just scraped my car. And I went on for about 45 seconds just ranting. But you know what? When I let it out, Holy Spirit started to say, "You've done that to someone else before." Not that much damage, but a broken number plate when I was about 19. you know, you're not perfect. And he began not to condemn me, but just began to minister his truth to me. And how I was feeling so victimized and unfair. And yet he was saying, don't worry. You won't even notice it in a few weeks' time. And as he began to minister to me, then I went, ah, you know what? I forgive them. You know? Ever try to plant a seed in frozen ground when it's really frosty? It's really hard work. You have to dig at it first and really kind of get going at the earth, and then you can plant the seed. Well, what happens when you begin to pour out your heart to Jesus is he begins to work at that hardness in your soul until you're able to plant a seed of forgiveness or whatever it is that he wants to plant, a seed of truth that replaces the lies that you've been believing for years that you're not good enough and that has caused a blockage in you. You can't love other people because you don't feel loved, or whatever blockage it is. When you start to really get honest with yourself and him, he can then start to circulate, bring things up, minister his truth. And before you know it, peace. Holy Spirit's like Heineken. Reaches the parts that other beers cannot reach. Okay, oops. Oops. An important part is for me is that I write it down. Because when I write it down, it really focuses my mind. Otherwise, 20 seconds and I'll run out of words. Whereas if I write it down, it flows. And then I read it to him in a prayer. But then importantly, I then wait to write down what he wants to say to me. Now, I don't hear an audible voice. What I hear is Jesus' heart speaking to my heart. I sense what his heart is saying to my heart. And I'm amazed every time I sit there and say, speak, Lord Jesus, for your beloved is listening. He says something. Now, sometimes I'm writing down thinking, this is just me making it up. And then when I read it back, I think, that's not just me. It might be 50% me. But there's some Jesus there too. So, close your eyes again. We'll finish by, I'll just read to you an excerpt from my journal one day where I poured it out and then Jesus, I felt, said this to me. Cast your cares on me, morning, noon, and evening. This is the way you develop a relationship with me, by coming to me and be totally open and honest with yourself and me. Trust me to listen. By making the effort to pour your heart out to me, you are declaring your trust in my love, and that really blesses me. Remember the scripture, submit to me and resist the devil. You cannot submit to me unless you are completely honest with yourself and me, which will automatically require you to pour your heart out, which leads to your cares being cast over to me. And from the love you receive from our relationship, you will have the assurance that I am taking care of all that concerns and is concerning you. Abide in me. Make me your dwelling place, the shadow of the Almighty your refuge. Draw close and stay close. You feel close because taking the time to pour your heart out to me is drawing close to me. It is an act of humble-heartedness that blesses my heart. It is an act of submission that the devil hates and has to flee from. The devil wants you to continue to struggle and resist me. He wants you to blame me and everyone else. He wants you to fight me and everyone else. But humbly pouring your heart out to me goes against all his plans. Pouring your heart out to me means that you submit to me and resist him. You resist the urge to struggle and fight and instead make the conscious decision and effort to come into our Daddy's throne room. You come before your Father and Savior by our Spirit, and the devil has to flee. There in my presence, you pour your heart out like water before the Lord, and my angels surround you. I, even I, am he who comforts you. It is I who comforts you. This is why you should come to me and pour your heart out to me,
so that you can draw close enough to be comforted. How can a person be comforted properly unless they allow themselves to be vulnerable enough to draw near and be humbly honest? Many want comfort from me, but at a distance. They don't really want the comfort giver. They want quick fixes and sticking plasters. Real acceptance of my comfort requires full exposure of wounds and honesty of heart and soul. Pouring out your heart like water before me is a huge part of this process. It is faith in my loving kindness that invests time in drawing close to me and trusting me to listen and respond in any way I see fit. This is how you cast your cares over to me and instead receive in exchange gladness and joy, which will overtake you. This is real treasure. Treasure not hidden so that people cannot find it, but hidden so that people will seek and draw near to find it. It is liberating to know that you can come to me and talk about anything, to be who you are and how you feel. I want you to do this. I want my children to turn to me. Even if they are angry with me, I am their shepherd, and I'd rather they come to me than not. Use these times to be honest with me and with yourself. You can thank me and write requests, but I want you to pour your heart out to me too. I don't just want to hear the positive things, the things that you think I want to hear. Pour out your complaints before me. Come to me and tell me your trouble. I know your way in the path you walk. Do not hide anything from yourself or from me. This is a truth that will set you free. Be honest with me, and you will find a liberation in your soul as my spirit of truth cleanses you from all unrighteousness. I am the shepherd of your soul. As you are honest and open up to me, you invite me into that particular situation, and I will restore your soul. As the musicians come up to minister to us one more time, I'll just read from Revelation 3:20 again. Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Thank you, Jesus.